Hello, I'm Eric Corman, League of Education Voters Communications Director. The outcome of the Senate race in the 45th Legislative District will determine control of the Washington State Legislature. And with me is Republican candidate Jin-Young Lee England. Jin-Young is the daughter of Korean immigrants, a third-generation Washingtonian, second-generation military spouse, and entrepreneur. Jin-Young and her brother attended Washington State Public Schools near Joint Base Lewis-McChord in University Place, Washington, where their father originally enlisted, was stationed, and eventually retired as a disabled U.S. Army veteran after serving 21 honorable years and 2 deployments. Jin-Young and her husband, active duty U.S. Marine Corps Major Jeffrey S. England, have called Washington home for 3 generations, and both graduated from the University of Washington. To date, Jeff has served 17 years of enlisted and commissioned service, including 4 deployments. Jin-Young lives in their home in Woodinville near his family, while Jeff is currently forward deployed in Asia. Upon graduating from the UW, Jin-Young served with a nonprofit in Mozambique that provides economic and educational opportunities for widows and orphaned children through job skills training, operating schools, and providing medical care. During her time in Mozambique, she saw firsthand that certain policies can empower people to overcome their circumstance, while other policies can continue to enable and trap people in the circumstance they are in. Moved by her time in Mozambique, Jin-Young went on to build a decade of collective experience bridging technology and public policy for economic empowerment. While working in the U.S. Congress, she helped constituents be heard and learned how government works and how it doesn't. For the last 5 years, Jin-Young has served as an advisor and strategic consultant to executives in the private, public, and nonprofit sectors, and is a speaker and contributor on Bitcoin and blockchain's cultural, political, economic, and social impact. Most recently, Jin-Young led an award-winning in-house app development team for the U.S. Marine Corps in Okinawa, Japan. She returned home to Woodinville, Washington upon completion of her work. In 2015 and 2016, Jin-Young was selected for 2 highly competitive bipartisan international programs: the 32nd U.S. delegation to Australia with the American Council of Young Political Leaders and Exchange Program of the U.S. State Department's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, and the 32nd class of young leaders with the Council for the United States and Italy. More info at jinyoungengland.com. Jin-Young, what do you see as the most pressing education issues facing us today?
I believe in Washington State, the most important education issues are the issue of equity, you know, ensuring that every child, regardless of their social economic background or what zip code their parents can afford, has access to quality education. That is number one. And number two, I think, is the transition, right, from a stream of thought in education that everyone should be college bound to more, I think, career connected learning. Because I think what we're seeing is that in previous generations, immediately following World War II, that there was a big push in America that everyone should go to college and everyone should have access to college. And that was a great thing for those generations. But I think in my generation, you know, as millennials, you know, we just see the world differently. We grew up during a different time. And college has become so exorbitant and so just expensive. And we are realizing that as young people, that isn't the pathway for everyone. And on top of that, that really isn't the life that everybody wants. And instead, I think we need to be innovative and creative here in Washington State on how we can be more open-minded and provide alternative pathways for people who want to seek a different life.
Do you know what that would look like?
Yes, I think it starts by starting conversations with those in education. In the last 4 months of the campaign, I've had the honor of sitting down with each of the superintendents in all 3 school districts in the 45th, just to introduce myself and just to hear about what their methodology is, how they think about education, what is it that they hope to achieve during their tenure. And I think it really starts there. You know, I think the role of a legislator is not to tell people what to do or how they should live, right? But it really is facilitating conversations. It's really being an equal player in bringing different ideas and different people together to achieve the best outcomes for our students.
Well, what was your education journey like, you know, from early learning all the way until now?
Yeah. As my bio mentioned, you know, my brother and I, we are graduates of the Washington public school system. I was that kid on free and reduced lunch because my father was enlisted in the Army. My mother was a stay-at-home mom, and we were fortunate enough that someone gave my parents the tip that we should live in the best school district they could afford. just being immigrants, they didn't really understand that what school you went to affected your outcome, and what kind of teachers and education you had access to affected your outcome. And so in Washington State, they realized, you know, near Fort Lewis, University Place at that time had blue ribbon schools. And so we crammed into a two-bedroom apartment for all four of us just so that we could be a part of that school district. I'm so thankful for the sacrifice that they made, because look, here I am today, yeah. You know, and it's only because we were able to go to UP schools. In sixth grade, my dad broke the sad news that they couldn't afford college. Mm. And it's only because of the teachers there, specifically my guidance counselor and my DECA teacher, that I ended up going to the UW. Even though I was a tri-varsity athlete, I was voted the girl of the year in ninth grade, I was voted most likely to succeed, I graduated in the top 10% of my class of 500 students, mm-hmm. I almost didn't go to college.
Wow.
Because the sheer price tag scared me. You know, I thought, how am I going to pay for college? I'm just going to have to go to work. And it was because of this guidance counselor who literally put an application for UW in my hand, and my DECA teacher who said, you know, you could apply for scholarships. And he helped me identify scholarships that I could apply to, that I got into the UW, that I got my first year paid for because of this DECA teacher who helped me navigate the process. I'm just so thankful for that school district and the choice that my parents made. And here's the thing about kids and families and the opportunity and achievement gap. You don't know what you don't know. And if there aren't people around you to help you access resources or teach you, you know, how our public education system works in America, especially if you're the family of immigrants or you're low income and your family's never navigated that, you don't know what you don't know.
So you think that would be a great idea, say, to invest more in counselors, both guidance counselors and even social emotional counselors?
I really do believe in making sure that every school district does have people like that, not only guidance counselors, but people who can really help students identify what their passion is, what their skills are. And then again, going back to that career connected learning, right? Because as a kid, I was lucky. You know, my parents worked extremely hard, but there's a lot they didn't know. And so I got lucky by being taken on by different people who ended up being mentors in my life. Best advice that I received was catch on fire and people will come from miles around to watch you burn.
Huh.
And I thought about that and I thought, I don't know what that means. But, you know, as I chewed on it, I realized it means the most important thing that I could do is figure out what it is that I'm passionate about and what it is that I'm uniquely skilled to do. And then direct my energy and find the pathway of learning that will connect that. And then the third component being, what does the world need, right? If there are people in our schools that can help children think that way, right? Instead of you have to do these classes and graduate with this GPA and this is a formula for success. I think what we're realizing is that that is not a formula for success, that every child is unique and every child should be treated as an individual who has a unique contribution to society.
Now, there's a lot of work being done, as you probably know, on the Supreme Court's McCleary education funding decision.
Yes.
That just ended this past July. What do you think about the work that was done, and where do you think we should go moving forward from that?
Yeah. The positive of that outcome is that it was largely bipartisan, both in the House and the Senate. I think where there's room for improvement is, and again, I don't want to be too critical because I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And I think now as someone, you know, first time running for office, I just realize the challenges of one, putting yourself out there, but also two, of hopefully to be in this role. I don't want to be too critical. I don't know what happened behind closed doors. But at the same time, part of the agreement was sunsetting two tax exemptions, one for bottled water, one for extraction of fuels. They had 5 years to work on this. I just wonder, could there have been more? And again, I don't want to be too critical because I wasn't there. I wasn't the one doing the work. But if education is our paramount duty, I would hope that the people that we've elected in Olympia are doing their hardest to find ways to ensure that we are not only prioritizing it in our budget, but also fully funding it in a way where teachers are fully supported and students, their outcomes are improving. That's something that I really admired about the late Senator Andy Hill.
Mm.
You know, when he was chair of the budget committee, he was a huge education advocate, but he was also a huge advocate for children that needed a little more help. you know, whether they were low income or had special needs or English language learners, which we have a good number of here in our district. He really was an advocate, and that's something that I hope we can continue. I would say the third thing about the McCleary decision is I really think that moving forward as a state, if we want to ensure that the state meets its paramount duty, that a balance of power is really important. Because, you know, part of the reason why we ended up in this situation with the McCleary decision is because under one party control, we failed to fully fund education. And instead, local districts had to step up their local levies in order to make up the gap. That's unacceptable, right? My observation has been over time that we as people can better retain our voice and our power when there is a slim majority and a balance of power in our state government. Because then neither party can cater to their special interests, and now both must compromise at some level in order to serve the people that they represent. And for we as people, then it becomes very clear who among the electeds are catering towards party interests or special interests instead of really representing people, and we can do the job of voting them out and electing someone who's more willing to work across the aisle, who is more creative and open-minded in their thinking.
Well, if you were to win in November, what about being a senator from the 45th district scares you the most?
You know, to be honest, I haven't really thought that far because I'm in the middle of a campaign and trying to win a campaign. You know, a lot of people, I think, don't realize that the seat is to finish the fourth year of the late Senator Andy Hill's term. And a lot of people, I'm realizing at the door, don't realize that we are a part-time citizen legislature. And so next year is an even year, right? There's only 60 scheduled legislative days. That doesn't include any special sessions we might go into. But it's also an election year, right? And so really, the people of the 45th this year, they will be voting for someone to finish Andy's fourth year, and we'll only have 60 days. And so as I go door to door, I'm trying to be very clear and specific on what the people in my district value, what's important to them. My challenge, if I'm the one that wins in November, my challenge will be to find the perfect intersection between what the people in the 45th district want and need with what the legislature, so if I win, I'll join the bipartisan majority coalition caucus in the Senate, what the agenda and what the needs are of the state, right, next year, because, you know, a lot can change between now and next year. And then the third component being what is actually achievable? What are the elected members in both parties and both houses willing to work on in that limited time frame? That's the big challenge. I'm hoping that the people of the 45th will have confidence in me to represent them in the coming year. My commitment to the people is to listen and to be open-minded to all ideas and all possibilities in terms of best supporting our teachers and improving student outcomes.
Jin Young Lee England is a candidate for the 45th Legislative District and Senate. Info at jinyoungengland.com. Jin Young, thank you so much for letting me drop in.
My pleasure. Thank you.